Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
Okay, it has been a long, long while since we've come back here, but we are only a few days away from the season, and what an off-season it has been, but I've talked enough about that in the blog. Without any further ado, what are you most looking forward to this season? Other than Chelsea winning again.
Loathe to say it. I'm actually quite interested to see how Arsenal does this season. They made some interesting transfers. They got themselves a new goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking quite good. They've already won the Community Shield, which is a good start for them. Finally, Arsene beats Mourinho after however long for trying.
Yeah, so they've obviously have a really good keeper. You guys should know he's been really awesome for you guys for years.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a few pieces in that Arsenal squad, I think, that are still missing. I think they could really do with another striker. I think if they had gotten Benteke instead of Liverpool, they would be one of the favourites to win. I think that would arguably give them a stronger squad than Chelsea and City, because like these group of young players that Arsene Wenger has managed to convince to stay at Arsenal, I feel they're... like, they've had the few seasons together, and this is the season for them to push on and do well. Like, Ozil, Wilshire, Ramsey, and, of course, Alexis Sanchez. Only potential downside could be Alexis Sanchez having second season, and which means he might be a bit found out, so
yeah.
It might take him a bit longer to start off. But he's a class player, so even if he plays at 70%, if all the other players bring their 90% to 95%, Arsenal would be very strong. But I still see the problem being goals. And I think if Giroud gets injured, which can happen...
Well, it looks like they're either very close to or have brought Benzema, which will help with their strike potential. It's not an out-and-out striker as such.
Yeah.
But that's still going to be someone else to...
Benzema is like the second Harbour Bridge crossing in Auckland. We hear about it every season. It somehow never materialises. Like, I'm not
There seems to be more talk about it this year, which seems to always...
True.
Indicate perhaps a bit more stronger happening.
Well, we'll see. There's nobody in the Real Madrid squad that's a like-for-like replacement for Benzema. I don't know who they would buy, so it would be foolish, I think, of Real Madrid to sell Benzema and put so much pressure on Cristiano Ronaldo to provide all the goals, which he probably will anyway, because he's Cristiano Ronaldo. But if they get Benzema, things change for Arsenal. Like, but just based on what squad they have now, unless they get someone like Benzema, I think probably against maybe best case scenario is second. If City or Chelsea have a poor run of form in there somewhere, I can't. Similarly with my team, Manchester United, I think they got rid of a lot of players which I don't think I would have gotten rid of. Like, okay, Angel Di Maria wanted to go, so that's different. But players like Robin van Persie, I think if we had managed to hold on to him for another season, it puts a lot of pressure on Rooney. Like, Rooney, while is not that injury prone, and he plays a good number of games a season, is basically going to be the lone striker, and he's going to be the brunt of the force. If Chicharito doesn't go and he stays in the squad, he's going to be the only backups are going to be Chicharito and James Wilson. I know Louis van Gaal really rates James Wilson, but he's still a very young player with a lot to prove. But with Adnan Januzaj not going away on loan, and with Memphis Depay, they've got plenty of power down the flanks coming down, and they've got Mata and Herrera. So attacking power is not the problem for Manchester United. There are goals in that squad, even if it's not from the lead striker. Their problem is on the other side, which is the defense. Credit to them, they have bought Damian to cover that right back position, but they haven't got anyone in the center back. So either Louis van Gaal is going to persevere with Smalling, Jones, and maybe Evans to share that position, but that doesn't really light you up with confidence.
No.
Maybe even they'll be Rojo or Danny Blind cover. Like, there's plenty of cover, but you need that strong, Terry-like figure,
exactly.
Or a Nemanja Vidic figure, or a Vincent Kompany, which they don't have. As much as I hate to say it, without a player like that in the middle, in their defense, I don't see Manchester United winning the league this season. I think, like Arsenal, best case scenario second, but I think they're, unfortunately for Louis van Gaal, it'll finish third or fourth, and the owners will probably let him see out his contract next year. But yeah, he's not He can't win this year unless he gets a strong centre back before the window closes. That being said, if he gets a striker like Edinson Cavani or Huguain, who's available, then everything changes. Like those are, but yeah, barring buying a player like that. Manchester City, I think last season, Pellegrini had his second season woes. And he's bought a few players here and there, but I think he largely trusts his squad. He thinks they're good. And well, this is a squad that has won two premierships, so they definitely have quality. I feel like I wouldn't have sold James Milner. I think he's the sort of player every premiership team should just keep. He's basically like an English version of Yaya Toure. who doesn't score as many goals, but you know, just as solid a performer pretty much in any position you want to put him in. He's going to be a big boost to Liverpool. But City have brought well, I think, having Sterling.
Sterling's a big buy, I think.
And like it directly hurts Liverpool as well, is a buy that I can't help but like.
Yeah, I don't actually boast. Yes. I don't actually understand why Liverpool did. I mean, either you're a big club or you're a middle to lower club. Middle to lower club, that's the teams that you sort of can't turn down big money offers for your star players.
Absolutely.
But a top team, you should be able to just...
Manchester City are not yet Real Madrid or Barcelona. Yeah. So when they want to join your local rival, who are one of the biggest clubs in your league, you don't sell to them.
No.
Exactly. It would be like Chelsea selling United as a really good defensive player, or like selling us Diego Costa, just wouldn't happen. Yeah, City, I think, bought well, and Pellegrini is a manager I really rate, so I see City at least finishing in the top two this season again. I don't realistically see a change in that top four. I think, once again, we're going to see maybe Chelsea or City first or second, and United, Arsenal will be second, third or fourth, whichever positions they finish around. I think we can largely agree that's how it's going to end, would you?
I think that's very true.
The usual contenders you'll see are Spurs, of course. Yes. And I think Spurs, given players bought and the manager, it's the most likely to break into that top four. But once again, I think, I don't know, if Coutinho gets a good start, one of the other teams falter, he can definitely go and get that fourth place, but it's not easy. He'll have plenty of competition, and if the other side of it is if Pochettino starts losing a few games, doing a bit badly, we all know how itchy that trigger finger of Daniel Levy is.
No, exactly.
Liverpool, like, I was considering them to be a contender, and then they sold Sterling, and then I kind of wrote them off, and then they got Benteke, and then I went, maybe. But Benteke's a bit of a like-for-like for Daniel's for Sturridge, and they're both quite injury-prone, and so if they both get injured, I'm not sure where Liverpool's goals are coming from without Sterling.
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's not really what... Yeah.
They've got a good midfield and they've got a good system.
Yeah. Don't listen too much. They're solid midfield. Mm. But as you say, are they going to be full of goals?
And they've got clear issues in their defence. They need, like Manchester United, they definitely need to bulk up that defensive for back four. And potentially maybe even need a keeper. At least United have that for the next year, at least, it seems. Everton, like, they had a very disappointing last season, but they have bought well. If they can keep John Stones, do you see them challenging for one of those Euro spots?
I think they'll be very similar to them in good years, where they will be there or thereabouts, but maybe not quite have it there, not really to be a serious contender, but to be a pretender for sure. To be close enough, to be there and close enough, and all it takes is a good run and bad slip up by some of the other clubs, and they won't, if they get the chance, they're not going to let it slip. It's just with this.
I think so.
I don't think the chance is going to be of their own making as such. It's going to be other teams playing badly.
Well, they have a pretty good... The problem is they have a small squad.
Yeah.
Their starting 11 is as competitive as any other team in the league, and they have a good manager who plays in the right style. So best of luck, I think, to Everton. But once again, I think they'd be lucky to finish fourth or fifth, but more likely sixth, seventh or eighth.
That'd be more likely.
The two hipster clubs, Southampton and Swansea. The clubs hipsters love. Okay, everybody's... it's fashionable to like Southampton at the moment.
Yeah.
They make everybody's teams. They've got a really good football structure. second best youth system after Manchester City in the country. With that, with probably half the money invested in it. But overall, like, Southampton are always going to, I think, do pretty well. They're at least always going to be a top 10 team.
I think especially with, let's say, with the youth structure, they've got them set up just right, that they seem to be able to pump out decent youth players every year, just about, which almost instantly fit into the Premier League pace and the physicality of it, and can play good football. And they obviously play a good system and a good structure in the senior team. Everybody fits in well, everybody knows what they're doing. They are very hard to break down. They're very creative up front. They can get good assists. They create lots of chances. They're just a very good team. They're not an outstanding team. They're not a sensational team, but they do.
Do you think they will finish fifth, or maybe challenge for a top four position? Or are Spurs too strong amongst the other guys?
I have the feeling that Spurs might just be too strong amongst the other guys. But that said, I would say that about South Africa every year, and the last few years they've proven me wrong every time about it. They've been very close. They've been there, and maybe this is the year. Maybe this year they everything clicks together and everything works for Southampton, and they.
It's entirely possible. Swansea, once again, I think they're not quite there. They're not quite as developed as Southampton.
No.
They've got a good youth structure in place. Lots of good young Welsh talent that is now going on to play in for the Welsh team, which is seeded for the World Cup qualifiers.
Ooh, seeded.
So that's big improvement from Wales. Swansea are... I don't think they're going to be relegated. I don't see them. They might challenge for a little bit, I think. But once again, I think Swansea, similar to Everton, 7th, 8th sort of position, maybe. Maybe as high as 6th, 5th, if they're lucky.
I'd actually put Swansea maybe a bit lower than that. Maybe, the 7th, 8th is the not quite lucky, but the high point. And more like 9, 10 sort of area, very mid-table. They might go on a good run at some point through the year and start to peak a little bit, but I don't think over the whole season they're going to be able to maintain.
And, well, the next team that comes after them, if we go by the previous season's rankings, are West Ham, Crystal Palace. Well, Crystal Palace, who their two seasons were... Well, the previous season they had the marvellous Great Escape and someone managed to finish 11th, and we thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
And then Alan Pardew somehow last season got them from... another Great Escape to 10th.
Crazy.
Like, Crystal Palace clearly have very good players, good system, good owner. They're very similar to, I think, West Bromwich Albion in that respect.
Yeah.
But like West Bromwich Albion, I think Crystal Palace, and for that matter, we may as well get out of the way, WBA as well, are probably in that, fighting around for that 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th sort of positions, maybe 12th.
Yeah.
They're going to be comfortably not relegated come the end of the season,
Come the end of the season, they may, both those teams, I think, may struggle to pull themselves out of the relegation battle for a while. But yeah, come the end of the season, I would expect that they should have enough breathing distance between them and trouble to be able to feel safe.
And
they might not be completely safe till quite near the end of the season, but I think it would be something that would be a bit unusual for them to go down.